everybody, Tim Avenicki here with The College Audition, back again with another episode of The College Audition Podcast, here today with my two very special guests, Mr. David Hugo, Associate Professor and Director of Musical Theater, and Valerie Clayman Pye, Associate Professor and Chair of the Department of Theater, Dance, and Arts Management at Long Island University Post. Thank you so much for joining us today.
It's a pleasure.
Thanks so much for having us.
So, as always, we like to get to know the person, in this case people, before the program. So, if we could get a little bit of background on the both of you as far as your education and careers that led you to your time at LIU. How about we start with you, Valerie?
Sure. So, I began my career in theater for young audiences. After I graduated with my undergrad degree, I went out on tour with an arts and ed division of TheaterWorks USA, and I traveled the country for a couple of years doing that. And then I was working a lot with new plays, mostly downtown in New York with a collection of emerging directors and authors, playwrights rather, and actors, and we were investigating things like that. And in between, I was working, my survival job was working as a corporate spokesperson. So I did a lot of traveling and work with that. And then I had the opportunity to work on a brand new play. I was cast through an EPA for the world premiere of Reginald Rose's first play since the classic 12 Angry Men. And so I was in regional theater working with that, and I came back to New York. And, you know, at the time, there were a lot of EPAs that had auditions that required contemporary pieces and pieces of Shakespeare. And so I, at the time, was actually pretty terrified of Shakespeare. And I used to come into my auditions really strong with my contemporary piece and then hope that I didn't bomb things on my classical audition component. And so I decided pretty quickly that that wasn't a way to walk into auditions. And so I went to London and I trained at the London Academy of Music and Dramatic Arts, specifically in Shakespeare. And it was the year after Shakespeare's Globe had opened. And I went to see a production of Lucy Bailey's As You Like It and literally had a thunderbolt moment. It was as if I tell my students, it's like I was struck by lightning. I understood Shakespeare in a way that I never had before, and I was sure that that space could teach us how to perform Shakespeare. And so I came back to New York, and then I began focusing on Shakespeare. I did Shakespeare for a couple of years, and I knew at that time that I was really interested in, you know, figuring out what we could learn from the Globe. And word got around with some actors in New York who knew what my origin story was, right? That I was someone who was really afraid of Shakespeare and then suddenly found this passion for it. And so I began coaching actors who started doing really, really well at their auditions and callbacks. And so I realized that what I really wanted to do was to work with actors and help them discover a love and a passion for performing Shakespeare. And so I did my MFA in acting, and then I moved back to England to do a Master of Fine Arts and MFA in Staging Shakespeare, where I got to work with Shakespeare's Globe and the Royal Shakespeare Company. And then while I was there, I really knew that I could help actors to tap into something really special in terms of performing Shakespeare. And so I was really fortunate in that I had a grant from the British government to study the performance conditions at Shakespeare's Globe and to create an actor training methodology based on those conditions. And so that became the work that I did for my PhD. And that became my first book, Unearthing Shakespeare, Embodied Performance in the Globe, and one of the things that we teach here at LIU Post.
Incredible. And Mr. Hugo?
Yeah, I guess we'd start with the fact that I was a classical trained singer at Onondaga Community College. As far as I wasn't sure what I exactly wanted to do when I graduated from high school, and was singing at NATS competitions, which I realized that my voice was much better than I thought at the time. That then ended up me being able to sing for Syracuse University, for actually Brent Wagner, who left and went over to Michigan on us just that year. He accepted me and then he left. So I never got to work with Brent, but I got to work at Syracuse for 4 years. Then I graduated, went to New York, did the TYH, TheaterWorks USA as well, actually to get my equity card, which was great. I did a tour and people thought I was crazy because I did a 6 month and then I did a 3 month, but I just loved doing performing, and it was nice to have my first equity contract so quick out of college. Which led to the next big thing was a couple regional shows. When I was at Cumberland County Playhouse in Tennessee, I got a call to fly back and do a final audition for Les Mis. It was like my sixth or seventh call. And I got it and found myself on the national tour. I did that for 2 years, left the national tour. That's when they closed the Broadway company and decided to recast. I auditioned for that, got that, became a swing. I swang that company and then asked them if I could also swing the national tour. So I learned both companies, which is a little bit different. From there, I worked for a while and then I got Jekyll and Hyde. I went out on the national tour of Jekyll and Hyde. It also did the readings of Sideshow, but my role was cut because there was a role called, now I can't remember his name, but you know, that's how important he was for the show. So
I was just going to say that, yeah.
Right? I missed out on that opportunity to originate that. But, I did my career was a lot of Les Mis because after Jekyll, I went right back to Les Mis. You know, because I was a swing, I was really needed. And then a little bit while into that, I got married and decided I wanted to have a family. And that's when I decided it was time to go back to school and get a master's. And the other thing that I'd always wanted to do was teach. And I came back to New York. I looked all over the place for a program that would fit me. I was really against the old learn the song as a monologue and then take the actions for it. And I just didn't think it worked for me at Syracuse so well. So that's how I kind of ran into Long Island University. It's strange that I actually got my master's here. I walked into the Suzuki training taught by a professor named Maria Porter and saw her using the first I saw Suzuki and went, what the hell is that? That's just some weird, you know, stomping and the shakuhachi and all that stuff. It didn't make any sense. It looked like some weird karate that I could teach performance energy and could teach good physical bodies, but I didn't understand what it would teach other than that. But she had taken it in, and you can see this in her book,
Repurposing Suzuki.
And she took that work and then created these physical compositions that she was doing Shakespeare and the Greeks with. And as soon as I saw that, these students using heightened text, using their physical bodies to find the action in the text, I was like, that's the training. That's different. And so I literally walked into our chairs room that day and said, I'm in. And she looked at me like, what? I was like, no, I'm coming to your college. And so I came back and studied here for 2 years. I was about ready to leave. And Maria looked at me and she goes, would you start a musical theater program? And the rest is history as far as our program, which is, I think, 9 years old now. We only have 5 graduating classes and have had quite a success. If you look at, you know, the fact that if you look at Backstage, we're a top 30 program now. If you look at the number of students we have on Broadway, and national tours, I think we're kind of doing something right. And I think, to me, it's that training and a lot of the other things and the wonderful professors that we're working with now.
Yeah. So, David, you're the director of musical theater, but in what ways or in what classes do the students interact with you on a day-to-day basis?
Yeah, I like right now I have two freshman acting courses that I teach. So I'm teaching basic Stanislavski acting method. But then I do the training that I have came here to learn. I'm working with the juniors right now. And so in the fall year, I work with the sophomores, and in the spring year, I work with the juniors in musical theater, right. Teaching musical theater, right. You know, teaching how to sing a song, but using the physical body. It's a composition work that we work off of.
And Valerie, for you, you're the chair of the whole department. So what do you also get to work with the students?
So I teach the junior year. We have something that's really unique at LIU, where in the junior year, we really look at it as a pivot point. Students have been with us for 2 years, and they have 2 years left to go. And all of the training in the junior year is really focused on having a synthesis between body, voice, and text. And we do that with two different tracks of training. We have a PATAT track, which is a physical text analysis track. That's taught by our colleague, Tina Mitchell. And there is a Shakespeare track that I lead. And so the students receive a 6-credit deep dive into this synthesis of work that is basically both methods are engaging deeply with Laban and viewpoints, and Tina's work also brings in some of the Suzuki work, brings back the Suzuki work and deepens that work. And the students that are with me are working on a technique that I developed at the Globe, the work I was doing at the Globe called elliptical energy, which creates a really three-dimensional and radiant body in space that draws on the work of Michael Chekhov and also working with Shakespeare and Meisner's repetition work to release impulse. But really what it's doing is creating a synthesis between these three areas. And so mm-hmm. I lead the Shakespeare track. Mm-hmm.
So we haven't mentioned the degree, the actual degree names yet. So what is the degree or are the degrees that are available from LIU Post in theater and musical theater?
We have a BFA in acting, a BFA in musical theater, and a BA in theater arts.
Wonderful. So I'm going to let you pick which one of you is going to answer this question, but I always put our guest on the spot. I'm looking for an elevator pitch, 60 seconds or less. We'll break down the program in greater detail, trust me, but first go at it, 60 seconds or less. Why LIU Post?
Because we're going to give you a training that is repeatable, a process where you will not need Valerie or myself, meaning you're not going to be just coached and directed at this program, but when you leave, when you get a set of sides, whether it be Shakespeare, the Greeks, film and television sides, or musical theater, you're going to know exactly what to do with them. You're not going to be like I was after 4 years at Syracuse, where I was going to a coach because they gave me a tool bag approach that I didn't understand and nobody showed me how to use it. I don't mean to, in Syracuse, a long time ago, I love Syracuse. I got a great education, but that was part of the thing that we tried to change.
Right. So BFA Musical Theater, I am a freshman on my way to LIU Post for my first year there. Tell me what that first year looks like for me.
Sure. So in the first semester, you're going to take Intro to Drama, which serves as our play analysis course, where you're going to learn to break down a text from an analysis perspective. You'll have basic acting. You're going to have one component of technical theater. We have technical theater in both the fall semester and the spring semester, where you're going to have the opportunity to be exposed to all areas of technical theater, scenic, lighting, costumes, and management. You're also going to, if you're in the musical theater program, actually the acting majors are also doing this in the first year. You'll be placed with a voice coach and you'll have one-on-one voice lessons, either 30 minutes or 50 minutes per week. You are, if you're in the musical theater program, you'll definitely be in a dance class. And we have dance placements, so that will be dependent on what you come in with. And then you'll be taking some core classes. We've got, you know, because we're a conservatory style program that's situated within a liberal arts education, depending on whether or not you come in with AP or IB credits, you'll have a series of core classes that you'll have to take over the course of, you know, the 4 years that you're with us. And so that'll be the first semester. The second semester, in place of the play analysis class, we're going to add in the beginning Suzuki, and the whole company trains as a company. And so one of the things that's unique, I think, about our program is that the acting and the musical theater students are completely integrated and not siloed into discrete cohorts. And so they're really challenging each other to grow along the way. So that would be your first year. Yeah.
First year.
And then in the spring semester, you would also add what we call Production Lab, which is the course that's associated with a production that you're working on. And one of those two semesters, you'll also work on something that we call contract, which is an assignment that you have where you are working, say, in the costume shop or in the scenic shop, or you are working ushering, you know, for management or something like that. And so you have a semester of that. And then in the spring semester, we have what we call our freshman showcase or first year showcase. And so all of our first year students are introduced to the company. We run our own nonprofit theater company, the Post Theater Company. So all of the students are introduced to the company in a festival of short plays that are performed in repertory. And so that happens in the second semester that they're with us that spring.
So you mentioned that the acting students and the MT students are completely integrated. So let's go back now. I'm back in my freshman year, coming to LAU Post for the first time, but I'm a BFA acting student. Mm-hmm. Tell me how, which experiences I'll have as an acting student that are unique to acting and not musical theater, and then vice versa. What is unique to musical theater that not to acting?
That's a good question. I think in that first year, there is so much integration that I can't say that there is anything unique. I think the opportunities where things start to become a little bit more clearly defined in terms of area of specialty is really not probably until the junior year, sophomore year.
Like the electives.
Yeah,
right.
Mostly electives, yeah.
And for the musical theater kids, what about voice lessons and dance classes
and music classes? They have voice lessons every semester. So they have a one-on-one voice lesson, as I always say, that is, I think, essential in any program. They have a dance course. They can have, if you look at our plan of study, I always talk about the plan of studies, and I think that every student should look at the plan of studies and put them up against each other and see if they're dance heavy or acting heavy. You'll see on our plan of study that we are very heavy in acting. I mean, very heavy in acting. Our students can do every style of acting as a musical theater major, which I believe makes them very strong going into the industry. But then you'd say, well, how about the dance? Well, it's 9 credits to graduate, which is only 3 courses. But if you were to ask me for the plan of study, I have highlighted all the places that you can take dance that proves that you can dance every single semester, and you can dance within a pre-professional dance program. So we don't just have jazz, ballet, and tap, but we have hip-hop, African, modern,
commercial dance.
We have choreography classes. We have Laban analysis classes. So if you take advantage of where I have highlighted, you'll see that we have a very balanced triple threat musical theater program.
Are students allowed to level up in their dance when they get there if they've been, you know, in dance class since they were 2 years old?
Yes.
Yes.
Awesome.
Absolutely.
And for going back to the gen eds that were mentioned earlier, that conservatory style program in a liberal arts college setting is something that we've heard many, many times on this podcast, and it always means something slightly different. Sure. So could you maybe break that down a little bit more? What do the credit hours look like, for instance, for gen eds versus the classes that are required for the degree?
Well, the degree is 120 credits, and so 86 or 87 of those are in the major.
Oh, that's a pretty high percentage, actually. That's awesome.
Yeah, very high percentage.
Well, we cheat a little bit in that our history courses are writing intensives, so some of them can cover for English, right, for your literature courses and English courses.
Great.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. And then for the acting, the BFA acting, is it also 120?
Yes.
Credits? Great. You also had mentioned the nonprofit acting company on campus, and that's a great segue into performance opportunities for the students while they're there. So could you talk a little bit about the opportunities students will be able to have to get on stage during their 4 years?
Yeah.
Why don't you do Maine, and then I'll do the others.
Okay. Yeah that sounds good. So the Post Theater Company, we have our main stage season where we are working with a variety of different styles of performance. We really want students to have an opportunity to challenge themselves. And so you may have an opportunity to work on a new play, something in verse, whether it's the Greeks or Shakespeare, something that is ensemble driven. There might be a devised piece even. There are full-scale musicals, yes, full-scale musicals, as well as we've done some concert musicals, we've done some cabaret-style performances,
dance cabaret.
We really try and each season make sure that we are programming things that offer students a variety of opportunities to stretch their muscles and see what they're really capable of, and also to think about how the training that they receive is applicable beyond the immediate genre that they think it is, right? So, you know, for example, this semester we are doing, we have a one-act play that our students, one of our seniors is directing, and followed by Love's Labor's Lost, followed by Great Comet, followed by our freshman showcase, and then also followed by a dance concert. Yeah. So we produce a dance concert each semester, we produce a full-scale musical each semester, and then usually at least two full plays, and then usually a one act or something in there as well.
And those main stage musicals like Comet are directed not by faculty members, because I think this really sets us apart in a lot of ways, but by professional directors that we bring in. For example, our American Psycho last year was directed by the resident director of Anastasia, right? So, which is a great, you know, I know you'll probably ask questions about a showcase, right? We're showcasing while they're here in that sense. The other thing that we talk about, because this is how we end up getting, I don't know how many performances in the course of a year, is we have two club programs, which is
three actually.
Oh, excuse me, ESTA, the TYA, and the Broadway in Concerts. And ESTA and the Broadway Concerts do about 8 to 10 performances, and then the TYA does one or two.
Yes.
And then we also have the Tilla Center, which is a professional roadhouse that we do cabarets before the national tours that are coming in. So our students get to perform in the space before they go into the, as the, the patrons come in, they see our students and then go into the main
and
house.
And our headliners too.
Like Patty LaPone who did a wonderful master class for us. And then we also have been working TYAs with Tillis as well. So
and I forgot that
we're
when
doing
I was
Poseidon this year. Yeah, we there's so many productions and so many opportunities. And what I love about it is that when I was at Syracuse, and realized that every time I say Syracuse or Carnegie, it's because one of our professors was from Carnegie. I was from Syracuse, and when we created this program, I was looking at what Syracuse I thought could do better, or what they did and I thought was good. And took it. Like the cabaret in front of Tillis, if you go to Syracuse, they do a cabaret before Syracuse stage, right? So we're taking those ideas because they worked. But with the clubs, what it gives us is that it, for students, because we have a large body of students, so they are shooting for what would be Broadway, our main stage. If they don't get cast, they have some place to fall and still perform within the clubs. So we have this idea of what's happening in the real world, which is, you know, you shoot for this, but you have to fall sometimes, and you have to take the smaller, and you consistently can, you know, you feel that rejection, because, you know, how many things did I audition for before I finally made it out there or had the opportunity? And, you know, and I always say that what happened at Syracuse for me that was good was that I only got one real main stage production the whole time, and the amount of rejection I felt helped me to be resilient when I got out in the real world. And so this idea of our main stage and then our clubs give the opportunity to feel the resilience and the rejection, but also have some place to fall to, which I do think is really making our program even stronger.
Yeah. So our students, you said that the first opportunity they have to perform is their spring semester of their freshman year, correct? So that freshman
for the main stage, but they are permitted to perform with the student clubs in their first semester. You know, in the first semester, we really want them to get acclimated to being a college student, right? We also want to make sure that
they're using training.
You know, yes, that they're using their training, that they have, you know, a common vocabulary, that they have a process, that they have skills, and it's not just kind of reinforcing some of the things that they may be coming in with.
And one of the things, the reason why that is too, is that we have this thing called production lab. So we really enforce that what they're learning in the classroom is going to move over into the stage. Remember I said repeatable, right? Repeatable, that they're not going to need me. So what we do with that production lab is that they score every bit of text, whether physically or psychologically, you know, psychologically as far as Stanislavski, physically as far as Chekhov or Suzuki or whatever. They have given circumstances. They understand all the given circumstances. They're all written out, and they understand how the world of that play. Character bio, they have to be able to do. They have to be able to do research. And so they hand this Bible in. That's part of their class for every performance they do on the main stage, so that we can make sure that the work that we're teaching them is actually being used. They're not just going back to learning lines and winging it.
Well, and also because they're not being directed by faculty. So each production has a faculty member who is assigned, who is a liaison between the professional director and the student's process, so that we're helping the students to meet the demands of the professional director in a way that, you know, helps to kind of bridge the gap between the classroom and the practical experience.
Yeah. So you had said, you alluded to something earlier about students are coming into the university with college credits already, with AP scores and college credits, that can eliminate some of their gen ed requirements. Does that then open the doors for double majors and even minors or even double majors?
Well, we unfortunately don't offer minors at LIU, but we do sometimes have students who double major. It's difficult because they, you know, the BFA is 87 credits, and so it's tough to find a major that they can do within 8 semesters. Right? I mean, some students do double major and they stay a little, you know, an extra semester, or they take summer classes or things like that to fulfill the second major. But what I think it does even more than double major is it allows students to take more electives. And so sometimes students are taking classes, for example, in the film department, or they are taking ensemble classes in the music department, yep, or things like that. And so I think what they're doing is starting to take more electives in the extra space that they have. But some do double major.
Yeah, I mean, I think that we're, especially since they've taken the minors away, you know, really banking on the fact that the liberal arts is the backup plan, and that a student in a BFA who's really driven to work in the industry, even if they bring in these extra credits, the pre-up credits, should be taking more dance, should be really focusing on and succeeding out there. The liberal arts is the fallback, right? When I had to get a master's, I had a liberal arts at Syracuse so I could go right through. If I had a conservatory training, I would have had to go back and take a bunch of academics probably. So I think that's the way we look at it. I don't know if that's the correct way, but for every student, but for the students that come to LIU, I think they're really driven towards getting every credit and working on every aspect of themselves to actually work in the industry.
Sure.
You know, because today, you know, think about a quadruple threat, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, if you can play an instrument as well as sing, dance, and act, mm-hmm, you have a better chance to step into the world of theater. So, you know, we want to stretch them in as many ways as possible.
And actually, most of our students who are really serious about double majoring always have the option of doing the BA degree, which, mm-hmm, is about 45 credits in the major as opposed to 87 credits in the major, and it makes it much easier for them. They're fully, you know, they're integrated into the department. And they have performance opportunities, but they also have a lot more space in their schedule if they want to do a double major within 8 semesters.
Of course. Yeah, makes sense. So let's talk a little bit about the actual campus and the location, the student life. I'm Long Island University, so everyone's first question is going to be, how close is it to New York City?
Yeah. So we're about 30 miles outside of New York City. You know, we think it's the best of both worlds because we are on your kind of quintessential, bucolic, you know, 100-plus acre closed college campus.
Post-estate.
Yes, it is the former estate of Cornelius
C.W. Post,
and Marjorie Merriweather Post, yes, of Fruity Pebbles and all of that. So it was the summer estate. You know, when you think about the Great Gatsby and the Gold Coast of Long Island, it was the summer estate of the Post family. And it's been the home of the university, if I'm not mistaken, I believe since 1954.
Yeah.
And but it's absolutely stunning. I mean, it's, mm-hmm, the kind of campus that is often used for film shoots and things like that.
Yeah, visit in the spring. You can't believe
when the cherry blossoms.
The cherry blossoms and the trees. It's beautiful.
Gorgeous, gorgeous. Yeah. But so you've got this big, beautiful college campus, and then you have basically a 45-minute train ride, and you are in Midtown Manhattan, the theater district. And so we have students who are going in to see performances, going in to take extra classes or something like that, going in, you know, our upper division students are going in for auditions and things like that. And they are permitted to do that. And so we really feel that we, you know, get the best of both worlds. We have students from pretty much every state.
Every state and China.
And international students
international
as well.
Canada.
Mexico. And yeah, so we've got the majority of our students are, I would say, over 90 to 95% of our students are residential.
Mm-hmm.
We have a very small percentage of students who are local,
mm-hmm,
and an even smaller percentage of commuter students. We have a couple of those.
And the school itself gets a reputation of a commuter school, but we are not.
Our department is very different that regard.
You read my mind. I was actually just going to ask that question because that's what I know to be true is that there's several colleges like that. I think liberal arts colleges where they're mostly commuter campus, but then that performing arts program is drawing from all over the country.
But I think our campus is changing. I think in the last couple of years since COVID, the campus has actually changed quite a bit. Mm-hmm. And part of that, I think, is the move that the university has made to Division I athletics, which has completely changed the kind of vibe on campus, if you will, from a student perspective. I think we've also just been promoted to a Research 2 institution a Research 3 institution. So our national and international profile has been rising. And so
our endowment is
larger and better than it's ever been. And
the newer president has done some amazing things to make the culture for the students. You know, we just got balloons.
What was that from?
Sorry, amazing.
I don't know what that was from. And they think we're crazy because no one can see the video but us. But a bunch of balloons just appeared on the screen. You must have said something that made that happen.
Talking about AI. Yes, we are.
But yeah, there's been a lot of initiatives that have changed the culture for the students on campus. Because it doesn't have like Syracuse has like the bar scene and the fraternity row and all of that, but they've created fraternities and sororities on campus. The Division I is creating a different culture with the sports teams and things like that. You know, because a lot of students want that, right? A lot of students want that big Division I Michigan Syracuse feel, and I think that that's one of the moves we've made, as well as bringing up the academic standards through the Research One and things like that.
Yeah.
Great. Well, let's switch gears and talk about the audition and application process. You are both part of the recruitment team. So I'm going to start asking some questions by numbers. roughly, how many applicants or pre-screens do you see every year? Every time I ask that question, that is the first sound that comes out of the other side of the screen.
Well, we've been all over the country already. I mean, we've hit every corner of the country.
I know, and Unifieds are coming up. At the time of this recording, we're just getting ready for New York Unifieds. So I think by the end of the recruitment season, we're probably... You know, it changes from year to year. This year, we've added a bunch of new recruitment efforts. So we estimate we're probably going to see between 900, close to 900 this year, maybe 1,000.
I think we're over 1,000, but yeah.
Yeah, maybe about 1,000 this year.
Wow.
Yeah.
And do you pre-screen?
No, not really. I mean, we go to these places to pre-screen and then get people to come so we have a longer time to work with them, like at Unifieds or on Zoom.
We call back students
rather
than pre-screen. We see students, and then sometimes, depending on where we see them, we'll call them back. Uh-huh. So we like to think of it rather than passing a pre-screen. We
want to have an amount of time with them,
yeah.
Right? So, for example, we came to Florida to your audition, and... you know, we saw a bunch of students. We were done with those students because we had time to actually work with them.
Mm.
Whereas students that we saw maybe at some other audition was only a quick in and out, and we want to call them back to have time to actually talk to them,
to work with them.
You know, we it's important that they can take an adjustment and that they're really good people.
And I think because we're so focused on the training, we're really, when we're working with students, we're interested in learning how flexible they are in terms of, you know, being willing to explore, because that's the core of what we're doing.
And what materials are you looking for them to prepare for their audition?
We're both about to say it at the same time.
Go ahead.
For the acting program, we're looking for two contrasting monologues. They can both be contemporary. We do also love one contemporary, one classical. We're happy to have two contemporary pieces. For musical theater, why don't you talk about musical theater?
Prepared 32 bars of your best acting and vocal chops piece, and then back up. You know, we most of the time I'll ask for something else, usually a different style. I actually like to hear pop. I know that students these days, when I ask that, they're like, "Really? Thank you." And I'm like, I can't believe that the programs out there are not asking for it. I mean, that is where Broadway's moving to. Are we going to live in the Stone Ages, or are we going to grow here? Guys, I do think that most of us need to be hearing a pop style as well as maybe an old standard. But I would have something else in my book when you come into our room. And also, if we don't ask for something, that doesn't mean something else. That means we don't like you either. So you know that it could mean that we just saw everything we need. You're all amazing, and we just need to keep moving. You know, yeah. I think students need to know that, because sometimes, you know, you don't ask for another and you can see their faces. And I just want to say, no, I loved you.
Teenagers in musical theater overthinking everything in an audition? You're kidding.
Especially this time of year, because they put so much pressure on this. And I wish the universities would do better at making it, you know, not having 20 dance calls and everybody having different requirements. If any of you universities listen to this, please, let's think about that. Let's think about these kids are seniors in high schools and they deserve to have a life.
Yeah. How does dance play a role in your decision process for...
Yeah, you want me to answer that? Yeah, it's for us, I think it's more of a scholarship rating, right? Okay. We rate them, we're going to look at them as 0, 1, 2, 3, and 3 being the highest. And we're going to be rated in acting, singing, and dancing. If it's 3s across the board, that's somebody we're going to be pushing for get money to and see if we can get. But it's not a driving force, because we're not looking at them as just, when you come to LIU, you're not looked at just musical theater. We want you to be thinking about film. We want you to be thinking about Shakespeare. We want you to be thinking about classical stage, like every style possible. I don't believe in the one-trick pony. I don't think it is the deal anymore. I think that if you can do Shakespeare and you have a great voice, my God, you are trained well to be a great actor, singer. And then the dance is the other component. We want you to become a triple threat, or at least a mover by the time you leave us. You know, but where you break into the industry, we need to train you in all different areas. So dance, we don't hold as high as the acting and the singing as far as getting in, but we do look at it as far as scholarship.
Right. And so in the audition room, what is it that you're looking for that catches your eye, that gets that student to the next step with you?
I'm going to say the first part.
Yeah.
Someone who's good, a nice person.
Oh, good person, not someone who's good talent-wise, person.
No,
got
sorry.
It. I was like, wow, first, blunt.
Someone that we know when they enter the space is going to keep the space brave for the other students within the program, right? We are a strong believer, anti-bullying and everything. If we catch you bullying in our class, you're pulled out for an entire year of casting, uh-huh. Right? So we're very strong about these things. The second, then is talent. Right? But first and foremost, the brave space is going to nurture the whole program. One bad egg, one big ego, and it's over. So, you know, I love giving an adjustment that doesn't seem like it fits at all and seeing what your reaction to is. Mm-hmm. You give me a little hint of you don't know what you're talking about. Right? There's certain ways, things that we do, even from what you're doing outside the room to how you come in, how you present yourself, all of that. And then there's talent. Do you want to talk about that part?
Yeah, I mean, I think we're also looking for curiosity. right? A curiosity and a willingness to bring yourself into the space, which, right. You know, I think one of the big things that we haven't really had a chance to talk about this, but I think one of the big things for us is we really wholeheartedly believe that every actor is unique. We're not assembling a class according to type. We're not, you know, trying to fill a quota of certain things. And because of that, you know, we recognize and we acknowledge that everyone is bringing their own unique thing to the table. And how can we help you develop into the best version of yourself? We're not a break you down to build you up kind of program, right? We're more about helping you tap into the innate thing that makes you you. What is your voice? We're interested in developing, you know, not just great performers, but great artists, great citizens who can participate and make work.
Our favorite audition, at least mine,
yeah,
at Florida Combines this year,
oh,
was this kid that came in. I can't remember his name right now.
Well, we won't say it on the podcast.
Yeah, well, you would say it. Yeah, I was ready to pause there, but okay, go ahead.
He dared to go look at this video of this piece of choreography I did in tap with my hands that moved into dance, and we watched the whole thing, and we were like, holy crap, this is the kid I want.
Yeah.
This is the kid that probably has a chance to be a huge choreographer, you know.
Something that hasn't happened yet, right? Like, you know.
He's an artist. He's thinking outside the box. He's creative. He's daring enough to say, hey, can I show you something, do you know, that I feel really confident about, you know? That's the kid.
You know? Yeah, I always tell the students, and people who listen to this podcast have heard me say it a million times, but your talent gets your foot in the door. The thing that gets you in the program is showing them they can stand to be and want to be around you for the next 4 years.
Well, that's the thing. It's 4 years, right? And so I think David and I are really transparent, and I think students get a good sense of who we are in the space. And we're really interested in finding out who they are as well, because it's got to be a mutual fit. Mm-hmm. Right? It's a relationship. And there are a lot of great programs, and there are a lot of, you know, there's a lot of solid training out there. But
and I've seen over and over again in our classes, the kid that came in that had no training whatsoever end up being the top kid and the kid that's working in the industry right now.
Mm-hmm.
We have a student that has done King Kong and then went on to dance at the Met. And he's done a few different things, and he had never had an acting or a singing lesson a day in his life. But he worked his butt off.
Yeah.
And that's how he got there.
That's
so
great.
You know.
Yeah.
Those.
So, if students want to find out more about the program, or if parents want to find out more about the program, what's the best way to go about getting in touch with you?
I think the best way to learn about us would be we have a new website, posttheatercompany.org.
Made by one of our students.
Yes.
Wow.
And so that gives you a good sense of where we are, like who our faculty are, what they've done, what they're doing, what the program is like.
What
our alumni are doing. I also think a really great thing that I've been recommending to a lot of prospective students is to check out our Post Theater Company Instagram, which is also primarily run by our students. And what I love about that is that it gives students an opportunity to have a sense of what it's like to be a student. There are student takeovers, there are promos that students do leading up to the productions that we have. And so I'm just grabbing the handle on that for you, because I feel like I always, it's had a revamp, and I think that.
And while she's looking at it, I always say, and this is something for them to do for all schools, I think, is to go on Facebook and Instagram and find the students and actually talk to students directly.
Yeah.
I think the best way to find out how strong or what, I always say, I think the best thing for you to do is to find out what they're learning at the school. Ask them, you know, how do you approach a scene? How do you approach a song? Well, how do you know that we're really teaching what we're saying? Talk to our students. If a student in my class isn't breaking down a scene with given circumstance, objective, obstacle, beat change, you know, character bio in just freshman year, and then next, you know, by the time they get to my sophomore year, using archetypal gesture, psychological gesture, you know, scoring, physical scoring, like, and being able to repeat that, and that's where the repeatable, I'm going to keep coming back to the repeatable, you know, if our students don't talk about that when that question is asked, then we're not doing our job. You know, that's where you can find out if the program is just coaching these students, right? So that the teacher's a really good director, or the teacher's actually teaching a method of acting that can be used.
Uh-huh. So the Instagram is at LIU Post Theater.
Great.
And I love it. I think it's fantastic. It's such a great way to see, from a student perspective, what it's like.
Beautiful. Well, thank you both so much for sitting down with us today and sharing more about your programs offered at LIU Post. I certainly know that I learned quite a bit today as well. And I hope that a bunch of students go check you guys out. And I hope that your time with us at the Florida Combined Auditions were beneficial for your program as well.
They were amazing.
We loved it.
Oh, thanks great. So I'm so glad. Thanks for joining us today.
Thanks so much for having us.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
For more information on the exciting training, workshops, and resources we have to offer at The College Audition, please visit us online at www.thecollegeaudition.com or follow us on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube.